Here's Robin.
I'm mailing it back with Sam Yeager, and you're calling me from Los Angeles, where it's nice and sunny, and we're having a little snowpocalypse here in New York.
I know. It seems like the end of the world on both sides. We are still in the midst of, I don't know, maybe a 10-year drought or something. So it's beautiful, but it's not necessarily good for where we live.
I know. Would you rather be in the snow or would you rather be in 85 degrees? What do you prefer?
I'm going to say 85 just because it's less shoveling.
Yes. I know. It's beautiful, though. But if tomorrow it will be slush and gross, so we're taking advantage of it.
Yeah, that was the thing. Back in growing up in Ohio, you tend to forget the months of February and March where it's just nothing but black snow that has just drifted up from the streets.
When you grew up in Ohio, were you from a farm or what sort of upbringing? I keep thinking of The Bachelor. You know, he's from Ohio.
No, I don't know where The Bachelor grew up, but I'm sure if I were on The Bachelor, they would paint it as I was a farmhand or something. But I grew up in a small town outside of Toledo called Perrysburg, which, you know, was kind of, part suburbia, part quaint little town, and I lived in the quaint little town part. But it was a great place to grow up.
How did you discover acting there? Was it something that was in your family, or how did it come to you?
No, not at all. Back in Ohio, there's only a couple of things to do when you're young, and that's drink or go sledding, or go to the movies. And I didn't care to drink, and I and the sledding hills were off limits most of the year. So, I was a fan of watching movies growing up, and went and saw the movie Dead Poets Society, and came out and said, that seems like a pretty good living. And have just kind of pursued it ever since.
Wow. So you fancied yourself the Robin Williams character or the Ethan Hawke character?
None. Strangely enough, it's not Robert Sean Leonard. I think it is Robert Sean.
Yeah, Robert Sean Leonard.
Yeah. Strangely enough, the kid who does himself in, I don't know if that was I love the world that he was a part of, and I found it just so magical. And then when I, got into high school, it was as magical as it had seemed. I just found a great warm community of people, kind of living on the periphery. And, I think that's all the people in our industry. They're, it's like a blue-collar nomadic society.
Yes, it's so. Very, very circus-like almost. You're constantly traveling.
Yeah exactly. But it's funny, for all the stereotypes of Los Angeles and Hollywood, I've found some of the most grounded and most generous people I've ever met out here. So, but the stereotype is easier to go along with.
Yeah.
It's a funnier button. So.
Yeah, I know. They're all vapid people that live in Los Angeles. No, I'm only kidding.
Right, exactly. Well, it was kind of like when I moved, I lived in New York for 3 years out of college, and, I remember the stereotype from Ohio was that, how am I not getting shot on a daily basis living in New York? That I had somehow survived the mean streets of Manhattan. And, the reality is somewhat different.
I know. So when did you get interested in filmmaking? I know, you made a couple of shorts before, and then you did actually a feature film, which I just watched that I want to talk to you about as well, Take Me Home. So I was doing my homework and sort of going back to the beginning. So when did you first become interested in making movies?
Well, I even back in high school, we were, shooting movies on VHS, and my friend Jeff Sivanek, who is now an editor for the TV show Eastbound and Down.
I love that show.
Yeah. And has worked out here, ever since I've been out here. We took ourselves way too seriously and put our movies in the local video stores, free rentals and all that stuff. So I've always felt like I, and especially getting into the acting world, it's a career that you can't do on your own. You know, you have to wait for somebody to give you the thumbs up. And I never really was comfortable with giving anybody that much power over my career.
Mm.
And, you know, and telling stories, I felt like I had a voice, and there were stories I wanted to tell. And, you know, growing up in the Midwest, I felt like there was a gamut of stories that aren't getting told. And so it just seemed like, you know, rather than sit around and wait for people to, you know, give me the call, I would, you know, invite all the friends that I've met over the years who were extremely talented and pool our resources. And that's worked out well somehow.
So I feel like there's a running theme, Sam, through your movies of, like, marriage and family. And I know when you did Take Me Home, you worked with your wife, but you didn't have children yet. So
right.
That must have been quite the dynamic. And now coming to Plain Clothes, you're making a movie about family, and now you have kids.
Yeah.
So tell me how that sort of all came full circle for you.
I just always am fascinated by how we are defined by our families. And I grew up in a family that, you know, my parents have been together 45 years now.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And I think as a kid growing up wanting to be a part of this kind of artistic community, I always felt like, well, I you know, maybe I need some really terrible things to happen to me in order to really imitate art. You know, that that I was somehow insufficient because I had a parents who loved each other and weren't divorced, and I didn't suffer any horrible tragedies growing up. And yet, you know, here I am. I still feel like, you know, even with all the wonderful things they did, even my parents screwed up in their own way. And you know, I feel like if one of the most ambitious and important things we do in life is raise other people to be hopefully, you know, good people, how do we affect the world through that? I'm just fascinated. You know, doing parenthood was another avenue of that. You know, the construct of that entire show was, you know, we're fallible people. But we're trying. I don't know anybody that's not trying to do better. But I guess the themes of Take Me Home and Plain Clothes are similar in that they're both about people who aren't sure about how to live the best life for themselves and those around them. So I guess that's something that I deal with in my own life, and I think it's a good pursuit.
Now, what's so cool about you is that you've been married to your college sweetheart now, and I once read that if you meet your person in college, you're with them forever.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
God, I wish that were true. My best friend is divorced.
Well, they don't count.
They don't count.
But you guys are doing good.
That's right. You know, and my parents were even high school sweethearts, and my brother and his wife were high school sweethearts. I mean, I think it's I think there's something interesting. I once heard that there's something called a monogamy gene, and whether that's true or not, I hope that I have it. But
a monogamy gene, did you say?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
That there's a trait inherent that causes people to stay put rather than other people. So, you know, we've been together, my wife and I, for 16 years now. So,
but you're only married. You're only married for what? 8 years or going to be eight?
Yeah, something like 8 years. Yeah. Well, we spent, 8 years trying to figure out what it means to be, you know, in love with your best friend. And also, you know, coming into it, my parents, one of the things they did right was stay married. But I think it, you know, for me to see my siblings marry early, I had a lot of expectations or misconceptions about what that meant. So it took a long time for me to propose. And I think it took a long time equally for my wife to be ready to accept.
So you got married back in your hometown. Tell me if this is true, because we always, you know, read things on the web, and who knows if they're true or not.
We got married in our home state. It was just about 45 minutes outside of where Amber and I first met. You know, it's a place that actually, since then, and my family have gone back to, you know, spend vacations together, and our roots are important to us. You know, family is important to us, and we want to be close to them.
And do you feel like your philosophy on marriage has changed over the years since, you first started movie making, look into marriage? Has it changed now that you're married?
No, I don't think it has. I think the marriage has changed. You know, I think you go through highs and lows, and you know, certainly having kids changes the dynamic of everything you do on a daily basis.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. You know, it never occurred to me before I had kids that everything I did on a daily basis was entirely self-involved. And now that self-involvement is time I need to carve out on a daily basis. Recently, my son's been going through potty training, so I'm breaking up my day into going into preschool and helping him through that, and then trying to figure out, okay, what was I just writing? I was writing something. I was in the middle of the Utah desert. What was happening there again? And you know, constantly adjusting to the changing dynamics of a 4-year-old's temperament.
I don't understand how you made this movie recently. I think it was also a short with Jennifer Morrison called To Dust Return, about the death of a newborn son. And I think you were actually just had your second child, so I can't even imagine going through a role like that.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like 3 months before it. It was pretty stupid to do. But, you know, I'm not terribly superstitious, thankfully, and it was a great role and a very unique director with a pretty cool perspective, and I thought, you know, I want to be a part of helping to tell unusual stories and helping out, you know, filmmakers in any way I can, because I know what it means to have somebody help me out.
I guess you were able to put those emotions aside and not go to sleep at night worrying about, you know, your baby being born.
No, thankfully. I think it's easy to empathize with people in situations, and I can jump into that in a way that I don't have to bring my work home too much. That doesn't mean I don't take things personally or whatever, but I think I'm able to differentiate between fact and fiction pretty well after all these years.
Going back to Plainclothes, which I wanted to see more of. I know it's only like, what, 10 minutes, but I want to see this as a feature film, just so you know.
Oh, cool.
It's so great. It has one of the more realistic fight scenes that I've ever seen, even in like a feature. You guys look like you really beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, you know, one of the great things about doing a short like this is, you know, we shot it on a long weekend, and I asked a couple of favors, and the favors asked favors, and pretty soon I had the stunt coordinator for Parenthood, which, if you can imagine, on our show has a stunt coordinator, first of all.
But I can't imagine. Are you going to punch out Zeke one day? I don't know.
I don't know. It's, you know, you know, maybe the marital arguments get pretty heated. I don't know, but yeah, the stunt guy from our show showed up with five guys to kind of coordinate this, you know, this tumble down the slope, and while we jumped in and were able to still beat the crap out of each other, we wanted it to look as brutal as possible, and I think, yeah, thank you. That was something we worked really hard on.
Did anybody get hurt? It looked like you really took a punch there.
I don't think we got too badly hurt. I think that, and if the stunt guys got hurt, you know, that they never talk about it.
Right.
Or it's, you know, a war wound that they can brag about. But, yeah, no, it was fun to do. it was interesting. We shot part of it, you know, next to this river, the Arroyo River. And then this other part, we realized when we got there that the river was not deep enough to dunk somebody in. So the next day we came back and everybody gathered in my backyard, and I bought a children's pool, and we filled it up with a bunch of muck and murk, and we just shot the close-ups of the strangling sequence in this baby pool in my backyard.
I love it. I love it. That's great. It was like a little kiddie pool.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those moments that reminded me that, you know, no matter what the scale is, I'm still kind of making movies like I did back in Perrysburg, you know, on VHS. Because we are just kind of playing around and trying to make things believable for this one minute span of time. And I'm always excited by the challenge of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to, since you brought up Parenthood, I must ask you if you took anything home with you. Like, did you steal anything from the set, or did you take any mementos home?
I don't think I did. I mean, I have so many mementos. You know, to be honest, it wasn't the things on the set that mattered to me. What was so wonderful to me with the people.
You took them all home with you.
Yeah, they're living in my backyard. Some are swimming in the kiddie pool right now. The gaffers have overstayed their welcome, but you know, what are you going to do? We're all family.
Exactly.
You know, the relationships were so exciting to me, and it you know, if it were a fantasy show or something, I'm sure I'd bring home like a laser gun or something, but. For me, it was just the moment. You know, that show is really about moments between two people, it was hard to say goodbye, but I think we all feel really proud of the job we did.
I kept yelling at your character throughout the entire breakup with Erica Christensen's character. I was screaming at the TV set, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, you're not the only one. I was doing a little bit of that myself. It was a storyline that I am partly to blame for. I had spoken to Jason after season four, and I said, okay, you know, we've seen enough of perfect Joel. I don't think any man on earth can handle the pressure of that anymore. You know, I would have guys come up to me and say, you know, hey, thanks for nothing. My wife is constantly like, why can't you be more like Joel? And to me, I felt like, you know, maybe we're not really telling the full story of this guy. But to the extreme that we took it, I think in the end it was worthwhile. I mean, I think we had a long way to go, and I'm glad that we spent the last season getting back to the relationship that we had kind of come to believe in.
Yeah, it was probably the best ending I've ever seen on a series that was like left you satiated. It wasn't too sappy, but yet you cried, because I think I cried at every single episode of Parenthood.
Right.
You know, it was just
even when you get to the episodes where you're like, okay, well, clearly I'm not remotely moved. This is going to be the one where I get through it. There's always something at the end, some little moment between two people that. Turns the whole episode, so that's what Jason Kadams is known for.
Did it make you cry? Have you gone back to watch the whole thing, or you don't even want to do that yet?
No, it was pretty moving. I think the moment with Zeke at the end was really even caught me by surprise. Even knowing full well throughout the whole season what was going to happen, we didn't really know how, and so that was really fulfilling for me to kind of see that.
So now you're playing a family man again. You're filming you just filmed the pilot for Lumen in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you take your family with you? That's pretty far away.
I did. The boys traveled beautifully well, and it was kind of an adventure. And you know, we've been housebound for 4 years, so to kind of pick up the whole gang and ship off, It was pretty cool. It was not easy for my poor wife because they were long hours compared to Parenthood, which shot unbelievably quick. But it's a really cool show, and has similar attributes of Parenthood. You know, it's a fractured family that's trying to stay together, but everything else is completely different. It's a full scale fantasy show that takes place in this alternate dimension that the family finds itself in, and so that was really appealing to me to have something that was character driven but yet completely other.
Mm. So what kind of adventures did you have in New Zealand?
Driving on the other side of the road is enough of an adventure. Just getting to work.
God, or, yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of absurd that the place exists. You know, even in this, we stayed in Auckland, which is, according to most, the least scenic of any place in New Zealand, and yet every neighborhood felt like a small Southern California ocean town.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, yeah, and there are like a bunch of little tiny coves and beaches everywhere, and the weather this time of year is incredibly beautiful. And if the series goes, we may end up back there. So that's what we like to call a challenge of abundance.
You'll have to put everybody in school and the whole thing.
Yeah. But
will your wife want to move to New Zealand?
she didn't at first, but you know, being out there, she's really excited for the series to go and kind of see what comes of it. But
will you act together? Yeah, do you think you'll act together again? I really loved your chemistry, even though when you see married people on screen, sometimes it just doesn't work.
Right.
But
right.
You guys worked.
Thank you. Oh, thanks. I think there's enough love and animosity to keep it interesting. I think that's what every good relationship on screen and off screen needs, is that healthy kind of balance of power, I like to say. My wife would never call it that, but I think that's innately what it is. It's kind of this dynamic that both people take turns leading, and it's not always easy with that dynamic, but certainly worthwhile. And
well, that could be the secret. That could be the secret to your marriage, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we will act again. I mean, because I like to write and direct. I mean, there will be moments down the road. I'll let other people cast us in it, you know, and there may be opportunities where I direct her. Yeah, I it may be a while. Because I just think it's a lot to ask of my wife to have to put up with me as both a co-star and a director
and a husband.
And a husband. I mean, the poor thing.
No, you're lovely. Really, I thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been a delight.
Yes, it has. And stay nice and warm in sunny LA while I'm freezing my ass off here in New York.
I'll try.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Robin. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.